Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. My name is Fred Flights with the Center for Security Policy, substituting for Frank Gaffney on Secure Freedom Radio. My guest is Claudia Rosette, who is a well-known expert on North Korea. And given all the developments going on with North Korea today, Claudia, I'm really enthusiastic about having an opportunity to discuss this with you, starting with your new Wall Street Journal op-ed titled, Kick North Korea Out of the UN. Tell us about this.
Yeah, this is something where if you actually think the UN Charter matters in the least, it should be an obvious move. And the UN has, since 2006, has been slathering sanctions on North Korea. We now have 9 sanctions resolutions. North Korea has carried right on with its nuclear tests and ballistic missile tests and its threats and its monstrous oppression of its people. The point I was trying to make is if the idea is before we end up in a hot war, let's try every diplomatic avenue that might help do something. There's a strong case simply on the part of the UN, or as far as anyone who thinks the UN is worth trying to treat reasonably in any way or treat as an institution with any integrity at all. There's a case that simply out of respect for the UN Charter, North Korea should be thrown out of the UN. It never met the requirements for membership. It was a latecomer. It was admitted in tandem with South Korea in 1991 as the Soviet Union was falling apart. And the rationalization at the time, this was horse trading between Russia and the U.S. with their vetoes on the Security Council. And the rationalization at the time was North Korea brought into the U.N. fold with its patron collapsing, the Soviet Union, might reform. You know, this would be a way to just civilize everything. Of course, that didn't work out at all. North Korea immediately began exploiting its membership in the U.N. And in less than 2 years, it had already become a problem brought before the Security Council over its nuclear program, which was back then found to be out of compliance with nuclear safeguards. If you actually look at the UN Charter, North Korea is in violation of the Charter. I mean, so are about half the members of the UN. But if we start somewhere with that problem, North Korea stands out as candidate number one for expel this country. It doesn't belong there. And which might have the beneficial effect of taking away the effect of legitimacy conferred on the North Korean regime when the UN gave it a seat. Also, if the UN Security Council wants countries to isolate North Korea and cut off dealings with it, surely the UN itself should start by showing here's how it's done. All they need to do is a recommendation from the Security Council, a vote of the General Assembly. And I think the arguments for it are so solid. North Korea is in violation of the Charter. It is a country that's now in violation of the stack of UN sanctions as well. And its own abuses of its people are so monstrously at odds with the founding principles of the UN. In other words, complete breach of the Charter and the qualifications for membership.
Well, I want to move on to the recent UN Security Council resolution passed in response to the detonation of a supposed H-bomb earlier this month. And as you know, the UN yet again passed the toughest sanctions ever against North Korea to increase the pain on the North Korean regime. And I think you wrote a column recently expressing skepticism at this latest claim that the international community is really getting tough with the North. Give us your take on this.
Yeah, well, we've been watching one sanctions resolution after another passed for years because that's the default mode. Every time they're of course described as the toughest ever because every time they are. The problem is increment after increment has not succeeded in actually stopping the North Korean nuclear program. In fact, sanctions don't stop nuclear programs. They may have other effects. They can target specific actors. They can effectively impose a cost on the targets or the target country. But the things that have stopped nuclear programs, Fred, are regime change in the Israeli Air Force. that's about it. Because the case of Gaddafi giving up his nuclear kit was his fear of suffering the fate of Saddam Hussein, who had just been overthrown in Iraq, because we suspected he was working again on nuclear weapons, on weapons of mass destruction. So The problem is with sanctions. From the economic point of view, I think you get to a stage of diminishing returns. You know, you can keep on adding more sanctions, but unless they're actually enforced, it doesn't make a great deal of difference. And Russia and China have never fully enforced the same sanctions that they have approved every resolution at the UN since this started with this batch of sanctions resolutions in 2006. So it's kind of like saying we're going to make a stronger and stronger sieve. Yes, but things are still getting through. And what is the end game? Again, where have these the tough sanctions regimes, where have they taken us in the cases of Iran and North Korea, these two major problem proliferators in the modern world? Incredibly bad deals. A rotten Iran nuclear deal that the Trump administration will scrap, that President Obama sold under false pretenses and through all sorts of manipulation, and did an end run around the U.S. Congress to get the U.N. to pass before the Congress could even debate it, and a series of rotten nuclear deals with North Korea, on which North Korea has cheated, and they're now testing not only atomic weapons, but apparently the hydrogen bomb.
Let me ask you a related question. I mean, the sanctions clearly have a lot of holes in them, but China has gone further than it has before. There's reports that China actually was concerned about radiation drifting over the border after the last reported H-bomb test. Where is China right now? What do you expect China to do next?
I think that if you look at how China has behaved for years, China seems to me to be okay with the idea of North Korea getting nuclear weapons because North Korea threatens us. It's not making threats to nuke Beijing, you'll notice, and it's unlikely that they would try. They would be obliterated. China doesn't go through the sorts of democratic debate, open discussion, and so on that we do, or for that matter, moral compunction over various things. I think a certain amount of what we read, there may be real dismay. I mean, for people living near the North Korean border, that's got to be a real concern in China. And at the same time, I think China is a great deal less dismayed than its official pronouncements would suggest. And I put Russia in much the same box. I think these are two significant powers that are right there in the neighborhood. They both have borders with North Korea.
So how do you think the Chinese view the Trump administration's approach to North Korea and Trump's warnings to Pyongyang?
Fred, I wish I knew for sure, but my guess would be that they're trying very hard right now to figure out how serious he is and what abilities he has to follow through, not only military, but political on the ground. I mean, an American leader has to rally the American people. And in that sense, it may be if he's going to prepare for any sort of serious military action, it's a good idea to have the support of the American voters behind you and to explain to them why and what you're doing. A day that will live in infamy. Pearl Harbor made it obvious, but you don't really want to wait to that point if you can manage to do something first. And in that sense, which takes us back to President Trump's UN speech, it's a good thing that he's talking the way he is, that he's speaking plainly, that he's not talking about, as President Obama did, strategic patience. Words must mean something when they meant nothing. To be pointing out that what North Korea is doing is very dangerous, very wrong, and that they will be totally destroyed if they attack us, I think that's a useful thing that people across America as well as around the world can look at, think about, and it's time America really did pay attention to North Korea, not as a joke, a comedy movie, or anything else, but as a really virulent, malign, and increasingly, unfortunately, well-armed threat.
Chloe Rosette, I'm afraid we have to wrap it up there. Thank you so much for offering your analysis of the UN General Assembly speech by President Trump and the threat from North Korea. And thank you for listening today to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Fred Flights, sitting in for Frank Gaffney.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.